Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to come to my presentation. The title of my presentation is Dear Mr. Aaron. My name is Missy Booker, and I am excited to present today. My project is a word analysis showing how a home run record became more about the falling of a legend's record and skin color than about home runs. A little background about me. I am a lifelong Cincinnati Reds fan. I'm very interested in the connection between baseball culture and society, and my favorite player is the great Johnny Bench. Many people thought that Babe Ruth's record of 714 home runs would never be broken. In fact, Ruth himself thought it would not be broken. They really weren't expecting to happen what happened in the early 1970s, and that was Hank Aaron came along. Hank Aaron, between 1954 and 1971, was really Mr. Consistent. He was an all-star outfielder for the Milwaukee Braves and the Atlanta Braves. He was a World Series champion in 57, as well as the MVP that year. By the end of the 71 season, he was third all-time in home runs at 639. And this was getting into territory that nobody had been in before, because it was encroaching on Ruth's record. So by the time the 72 season started, Aaron was 32 years old. He hit 34 home runs that year, and he was now second all-time on the list. With 673 home runs. So he truly was in uncharted territory, just 41 home runs shy of Ruth's record. But he had a problem. He actually had four of them. The first problem he had is, well, it might not seem bad to all of us, but he was 39. He was getting up in years. And he certainly was looking back on his career versus going forward. And so could he really amass another 41, 42 home runs? His second problem was he was not Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was really the ambassador for the game in the 20s and 30s and a legend. And he wasn't Babe Ruth. And so Ruth played 22 seasons. Most of you know this by heart. 714 home runs, 2,214 RBIs, a lifetime batting average of 342, seven World Series titles. And he was known as many nicknames, but the Sultan of SWAT is my favorite, so that's why this is in the presentation. He was truly the home run king. In fact, people rarely talked about his World Series or things, but it was his home runs that he was known for. And I love this quote by Red Smith. He says, it wasn't that he hit home runs, more home runs than anybody else. He hit them better, higher, farther, with more theatrical timing and a more flamboyant flourish. And I think that really sums up Ruth on the field really well. He was also a Hollywood star off the field. He was the ambassador for the game. And I have a confession. I could have had 40 slides of just pictures of Babe Ruth, but these are three of my favorites. Him with Nancy Carroll when he's all dressed up in the clown suit. This is him with Doris Eaton in a publicity photo, and of course his birthday cake. He was just charming, and he just had this natural vibrance about him. Problem that Hank Aaron had is he was not a New York Yankee. Because Ruth's record was Ruth's, who played for the Yankees, there was this lure that, well, this is a Yankees record and it should be broken by a Yankee. Many people wanted Mickey Mantle to break the record. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So now here's Aaron invading on a Yankee record. Last problem that Aaron had is he was a black man, and at that time, in 1972, it was just less than 30 years of integrating Major League Baseball. Our society was at a different place. There was a lot of segregation, and so he had to deal with that as well. Aaron received over more than 900,000 letters between 72 and 74. He received so many, the United States Postal Service gave him an award for receiving those letters. The Braves hired a woman named Carla to be a secretary, and her job was to open Hank Aaron's mail. Many of the letters began with the word dear. And what's interesting about the word dear, it's an adjective. It means highly valued, precious. It's considered heartfelt. unfortunately, they were not always that way. Many of the letters referenced skin color. They used a lot of offensive language, a lot of hate references, and a lot of references to Babe Ruth degrading Aaron. Just before I share what I'm going to share, I just want to let people know the next few slides contain offensive language and graphic content. I don't want to offend anybody. I just am trying to share the facts. So in this first letter, I'm not going to read all of it to you, but it starts out with "Dear Hank Aaron," and it says, "Retire or die, I'll shoot you. You've been up 2,000 more times than Babe Ruth, and you are not the player he was." Another letter, I'm not going to say the word, but he says, "Dear Mister, I hope you don't break the Babe's record. I wish you the worst of anything you do." So certainly they weren't heartfelt. A couple of other letters that he received, a postcard from Tennessee: "You can hit all dem home runs over dem short fences, but you can't take dat black off your face. Right on." He received a letter from a person in Arkansas: "Some blacks we admire and respect, but you can't tolerate cocky N-word like you." And from Boston: "Everybody loved Babe Ruth. You will be the most hated guy in the country if you break his career home run record of 714. So those are just a few of the letters that Aaron received. One thing to note is that a lot is talked about the hate letters that he did receive. Overall, about 90% of the letters he received were positive. Unfortunately, these 10% are just awful, and they're certainly not dear. What's interesting, I wanted to take a different perspective, so I decided to look at letters written to newspapers and editorials about what was happening to Aaron. And there was a couple themes that came through. The first were, they were much kinder, much more civil. There was a lot of focus on statistics and facts comparing Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron. There was also a lot of "but." And what I mean by that is, on the fact side, a fact is a noun. It's something that has crucial existence, an actual occurrence. It's a piece of information presented as having objective reality. So here's an example of a letter that was written to the editor and was really focused on statistics and facts. Ruth's pitching record was highlighted heavily, less at-bats, and they called out that there was less at-bats than Aaron, less games in a season, the 154 versus 162. And he ends it with, "These are the cold facts, and in my book, the Babe is still the king." And this was a theme throughout many of the letters that were written to the editor. A lot of comparing statistics of Ruth to Aaron. And as we know, it's oftentimes difficult to compare. There are also a lot of "buts." So "but" is a conjunction, and it's used to introduce a phrase or clause contrasting with what has already been mentioned. And here's my favorite "but" example. In all transparency, I read about 600 newspaper articles and letters to the editor, but this is my favorite one. Hank, after calling out that Babe Ruth was unique, the writer says, "Hank, on the other hand, will break Babe's record, and I respect him for it. But Aaron could never pitch and play all other positions better than Babe." That was a theme throughout, constantly comparing him to that. Here's an example of an editorial that was written. The author acknowledges the hate mail, but he still focuses on Babe Ruth's legend. Everybody loved Babe Ruth. And a common theme was to call out that Babe Ruth visited hospitals, all the off-the-field items that Babe Ruth did versus just his actual skill on the field. In late 1973, a gentleman by the name of Bob Hope, who worked for the Braves, wanted to show a different side of what was happening to Hank Aaron. And so he worked with the media in Atlanta and national media to have a more in-depth story stories presented about Ruth. And here's just a couple of examples of stories that came out. It was these types of features that allowed people to learn about what Ruth, what Aaron was going through. And they really showed a more human side of Hank Aaron. He was so competitive and so focused. So that was a big push for him at the end of the season to really get people behind him. Prior to that, he didn't have as lot of support. At the end of the 1973 season, he finished with 40 home runs as a 39-year-old, just one shy to tie the record and, of course, two to break it. He had that increased media coverage. He also had something else. He had a bodyguard, and he also had the FBI investigating and reviewing death threats. The bodyguard meant that he did not stay at his own team's hotel. He stayed at a different hotel. He commented in 2014 that it was very isolating for him. And the Braves finished in fifth that year in the NL West. The 1974 season brought with it a long off season for Aaron. It also meant lots of time to think about just those two. Just those two home runs to break. The Braves really got behind the home run record. They wanted it to be broken in Atlanta. However, the Braves were supposed to start the season in Cincinnati that year. Commissioner Bowie Kuhn said that Aaron must play in two of the three games in Cincinnati. So he actually tied Ruth's record on April 4th, 1974 at Riverfront Stadium. What's interesting about this is he had five more at-bats in Cincinnati and did not break the record. By the time the team returned to Atlanta on April 8th, in the fourth inning against the Dodgers, he broke the record. But this was a really telling statement by his teammate, Paul Casanova. The night before, he was so confident he would do it right away. He just wanted to get it over with. And this is a real common photo from AP from the night that he broke the record. And one of the statements he said on the field is, "I just thank God it's all over." And I find that sad that he had to go through this, and especially when you see this photo. My favorite photo, though, is this photo right here of him in the postgame after the game. As always, he was gracious and humble, and he said, "It's the Cadillac of baseball records, but Babe Ruth will still be regarded as the greatest hitter who ever lived, and I expect someone else to tag me someday." After all he went through, he had the ability to be kind to Babe Ruth. After all these letters, after all this discussion in the newspaper, across the country, America, newspapers celebrated that Henry Aaron, had broken Ruth's record. It was front page news. I was able to find 89 cover pages. I'm sure there were more, but that's what I was able to find in my research. Vin Scully, who is the play-by-play man for the Los Angeles Dodgers, was there that night when Al Downing gave up the home run, and he said this: "A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol, and it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron, who was met at home plate not only by every member of the Braves, but by his father and mother." And for me, when I found this quote, I found that to really be succinct with my research and sum it up well. After the 715th home run, he finished his career with the Braves and then went back to Milwaukee and played for the Brewers. He finished his career with a .305 batting average, 755 home runs, which is currently second all time, and my favorite statistic, 2,297 RBIs, which is first currently. The letters have a legacy for him. Hank Aaron did not open his mail for 2 years after breaking the record, even though he won an award from the United States Postal Service. He said that in 2014 that he still walks into ballparks and checks around for safety. And he admits that he did not enjoy the experience. And he still has the letters. And he says about why he kept the letters: "To remind myself that we are not that far removed from when I was chasing the record. If you think that, you are fooling yourself. A lot of things have happened in this country, but we have so far to go. There's not a whole lot that has changed." And I think I find it sad that this awesome record, that he really can't appreciate all the greatness that he did. Barry Bonds passed Aaron in 2007 and is the current home run leader. Hank Aaron, being Hank Aaron, offered a congratulatory message via video. So earlier I shared with you the definition of dear, and I really thought about that a lot because so many letters begin with that word. And I believe that Aaron has summed it up best in his version of dear. In 2014, for the 40th anniversary of the record, he said to MLB.com, and I apologize that I've been reading so much, "It means an awful lot to me," Aaron said. "I'm not one to go around bragging about certain things. I played the game because I love the game. It was a great challenge to me. I'm quite thrilled that people, for the first time, have seen fit that whatever I did should be appreciated. It makes me feel good." So I believe he has that heartfeltness now, and I think that's pretty cool. In conclusion, I would like to share with you that I'm new to baseball research. I've only been doing this about 7 years, and this particular project challenged me because I wasn't ready for the topic, and it was very intense and at times difficult to read, to see somebody getting beat up, whether it was in a letter or written to that individual or in a newspaper. It was a bit depressing. But I also fell in love with Babe Ruth, and I also fell in love with Hank Aaron at the same time. So I would like to leave you with this. May we all hit home runs in life with the power, timing, and swagger of Babe Ruth and the athleticism, grace, and humility of Hank Aaron. So thank you for the opportunity to present. Does anybody have any questions? I know it's a bit depressing. Go ahead, in the back. I'm sorry? I did. So that was also what was really interesting to me, is that was brought up in many of the articles as well. I did. And that was brought up in several of the articles as well. But what was really interesting about that was, for me, the research was depressing. I don't know another way to say it. And I didn't know that I could tackle Roger Maris and all he went through and what Hank Aaron went through. And maybe I will do that in the future, but I just couldn't for this. In fact, I wanted to speak with Hank Aaron, and I decided against it. I wanted to let the words in the newspapers and the letters that I found online to speak for him, rather than me pestering him.
I just wanted to ask you to flip the previous slide. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
As someone who grew up in Atlanta and saw Aaron play many times, first of all, I'd like to thank you for an outstanding presentation.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to thank you for pointing out that at least when you said about 90% of the letters were positive, because I had never heard that and never gotten an impression. And it's good to at least have something positive.
Thank you. So there's a really great article out there that was written in the 73 season, and it talks about Carla, the secretary that was hired. And there's a lot in there about the letters that he did receive that were not great, not very dear-like, but that's where I found that number. I'm basing it on what she said, but I do think it's important to call that out.
We can never know for sure, because he was dead. But I think that Babe Ruth probably would have been very gracious.
I think so too.
With the approach of the record, he wouldn't have been angry about it and welcome. Also, Ruth had a certain cultural stature. I read that during World War II, the Japanese had flushed Americans out of the behind camouflage and the jungle that they were in, were taught to yell, "Babe Ruth, go to hell."
There, if anybody would ever want them. The photos I found of Babe Ruth were so much fun to look at, and were just he must have been a magical person, and I feel like he was the right person in the 1920s to have that record in the 20s and 30s, and to be that leader for baseball at that time. And I believe that Hank Aaron was the right person to break the record. Did you have a question? I could not find that anywhere, but I was not able to find it. I asked the same question.
I also wanted to add my voice to say that I thought this was just an outstanding presentation.
Thank you.
So much from it, and it was engaging and wonderful.
Thank you.
I also wanted to mention that you could add, when you talk about Aaron having that RBI record, the other thing he's far ahead, number one, in his most total bases.
Yep. I'm just partial to the RBIs. I confess my sins.
My question is, did you look into or come across anything having to do with the ceremony when Aaron was honored with his 715 home run? And then,
I did.
Monty Irvin, who was somebody that I researched, got booed because he was Kuhn's emissary and kind of was the fall guy for what happened.
Well, there's a couple interesting things about that. You know, Craig Sager ran onto the field, which obviously would never be able to happen today. Then Governor Carter was there. There were celebrities, his family. I should be careful saying this, but I feel like the Braves weren't supportive initially on, and suddenly decided, you know, when it was beneficial to the Braves, they became supportive of the process. And what I found interesting about the whole experience is that on the field, he was glad it was over. It was the relief. It came out of him. And that's why I love that photo of him with the 715 side. You can see he let it out, right? And I feel like it's a shame he wasn't more celebrated at the time. Thank you for your question.
I was wondering, in those letters, I know that I've heard that Bruce Whittle wasn't very kind of averse to Roger Maris breaking the record, but by the time Hank Aaron came along, if there was any correspondence between Bruce's family and
I believe there was, but I don't have official proof of it. I will tell you this, though, that she did come out and say that she was supportive of it and believed that he would have. And other people thought that as well. You know, there was a lot of pressure put on Babe Ruth. Owning that record, he was the home run king, the salt in the SWAT, right? So we forget, in fact, John Thorne and I were talking earlier, the pressure that was put on him, right? And so and maybe I'm a Pollyanna, but in my heart of heart, I believe that he would have been supportive. Oh, sorry.
I'm just wondering, how were you able to access the letters that you
copied? So there were a couple that were at Emory University. There's about, I think there's like six out there altogether that they've put on display. I had a hard time with just those two, to be quite honest with you. And then there's a couple articles that reference the ones when I said the postcards from Tennessee and the letters from Arkansas and Boston. And then as far as letters to the editor, I went to newspapers.com and I did some creative searching. And what I found was quite fascinating to me. Newspapers in the Northeast, the letter writers were very much about facts from a statistical standpoint. I found letters from Arizona, articles from Arizona that were editorials, and Utah to be very supportive of Hank Aaron. So it was really, it was a great resource for me, and did a lot of time in microfiche. I'm sorry.
Is this on?
I can hear you.
Go ahead. Did you get a sense of the geographical distribution of racist hate mail that he got? I do not want to believe it was all from the South.
I don't think. I think the one thing that's really significant is a lot of the letters came from Georgia, where he lived. you know, he played for a team in Georgia. A lot of the letters also came from Alabama, the state that he was born in. But they were from across the country, from what I've been, from, was able to ascertain. And quite honestly, when you read the letters to the editor that I was able, and the editorials, they ran the gamut as well across the country.
Yeah, racism is too often equated and equalized with Southern, and I'm trying to get that out there.
So, thank you. Thank you for the chance to present.